Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, because our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ stayed focused on his goal. We have grace, mercy, and peace because we know that he stepped in and took our place in life and in death, guaranteeing us the joys of heaven. As you and I gather this morning, and as you think about what we just did with the children, isn't that one of those lessons that's kind of hard to teach? Little hard to illustrate, a little hard to teach, because whether you are 8 or 12 or 18, sometimes it's a little rough thinking forward. It's a little hard thinking beyond today or tomorrow, and maybe you are 28 or 38 or 48 or 58 or 88. Sometimes it's hard thinking forward. It's easy for us to get wrapped up in what we can see. It's easy to get wrapped up in the things that we have. It's easy to get wrapped up in what's going on in life. And it's a little tough to see that the things that I do now, the decisions that I make now, might affect next week, next year, maybe even 20 years from now. As you and I continue on in our stewardship series, last week we had the opportunity to think about the fact that stewardship is thankfulness. We got to stand with the children of Israel right at the banks of the Jordan River, getting ready to go into that promised land, looking ahead to the time when we could stand there with that basket in our hand, rejoicing that God's the one who supplies everything, and giving him the thanks and the praise. Today we focus our attention that stewardship is heaven-focused. And to help teach us that, we turn our attention to the Apostle Paul in our second lesson from Philippians chapters 3 and 4. As the Apostle teaches us, you and I then rejoice that heaven, that stewardship is heaven-focused. As you live here, rejoice you will live there. As you live here, watch where you walk. Brothers, join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we give you. To be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping. Their end is destruction, their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are thinking only about earthly things. A long time ago, somebody once told me that there are all kinds of examples. In fact, he told me that everybody is an example. You are an example. You're either a good one or you're a bad one. You don't get a choice. You are an example. The choice is, are you going to be a good example or a bad example? Somebody is watching you. Somebody is paying attention to you. And so as you and I live in this life, we would want to strive to be ones that people would watch and people would imitate. Now, to do that, you've got to watch where you're walking. The Apostle Paul talks about that there are those who walk in the pattern that the Apostle Paul had given. Those are the good examples. Imitate them along with me, the Apostle Paul says. Watch what they're doing. Look at how they are heaven-focused, how they're focused in on what is good and noble and right and true. As you follow that example and as you imitate those who are following that example, rejoice in all the blessings that come as you walk in those ways. But there are also the bad examples. And as you and I look around the world around us, it probably seems as if for every one good example, you've got a handful of bad examples. Those who are walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. Some of them are pretty obvious. Some of those enemies of the cross of Christ are not hiding the fact that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They are making it extremely clear that the cross of Christ is wrong, that it is irrelevant, it is no longer needed. In fact, it is something that is so terribly wrong that you've got to do everything you can to get rid of it. Turn on your television, watch the shows that are on at the same time that your children are awake, and you are reminded of all the things, all those blatant enemies of the cross of Christ that are trying to tell you that you can decide what's right, and you can decide what's wrong, and you don't have to be a good father or mother or parent or child. You can do whatever it is that makes you happy, because if it makes you happy, then you can determine if it's right. forget about God. And anything that he says, you just do whatever you want. Some of the enemies of the cross of Christ are not quite as blatant. Some of them hide it a little bit better. Some would claim that they would follow Jesus. They might even want to use the name Christian for themselves, but they will try to tell you that you can be a Christian as well as buy into the ideas of the world. You can be a Christian and believe that God had nothing to do with this world. You can be a Christian and believe everything that this world says about marriage and family and sexuality. You can be a Christian and never show up for worship, hold grudges, and do your own thing. Some enemies of the cross of Christ are even more subtle. Some of them are subtle enough to say, that cross of Christ, that's a good thing. Now go do that. Now that Christ has shown you what you need to do, now you get out there, you go be that good person. And you go do what needs to be done. Others will tell you that the cross of Christ is going to finish what you better get started. In order for that to count for you, there's certain things that you've got to do, certain things you need to accomplish. Those are enemies of the cross of Christ, because if you can start, or if you can finish, or if you can save yourself somehow, you don't need the cross of Christ. Because you don't need a Savior. If you can do it, watch where you're walking. As you live here, watch where you're walking. How easy it is for us to only think about the earthly things. How easy it is to get all wrapped up in our own self-desires and our own self-interests. The Apostle Paul describes them as their glory is in their appetite. They're busy filling their stomachs, literally. Taking in what makes me feel good, eating what I want, gorging myself and stuffing myself with the desires of my heart. Their glory is in their shame. Taking what God has said and turning it upside down, saying the things that God says are right and calling them wrong, the things that God says are wrong and calling them right. And how often haven't we caught ourselves glorying in our shame, getting together with friends long past and reliving the good old days as we talk about all those shameful things that we did. Their goal is destruction, as it tears them away from their God and tears them away from His love, only thinking about earthly things. And while it might be easy for us to see that in the people around us, it's also easy for us to see that in ourselves. As you live here, think about what you're doing. Think about how it's going to affect the future. Likely, in fact, quite likely, in fact, probably almost guaranteed, your child is not going to make it into professional sport. Your child is going into eternity. Which one should you get ready for? The 2.5-car garage, attached house, with the great big open floor plan, everything on the same level, perfectly manicured yard, doesn't impress God. He's not going to take that into account. The fun that you and I have and the popularity that we enjoy doesn't open heaven's gates. As you live here, watch where you're walking. Think about what you're doing. Think about the gifts that God gives. And don't get all wrapped up in thinking purely about earthly things. Now, all those things we just listed aren't in and of themselves wrong. If there is a talent, obviously you want to use it. If God has given you the blessing of your property or your home, obviously you want to take care of it. But the point that the apostle is reminding us about that is, as you live here, remember that stewardship is heaven-focused. As you live here, rejoice that you will live there. But our citizenship is in heaven. We are eagerly waiting for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself, He will transform our humble bodies to be like His glorious body. So then, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way keep standing firm in the Lord, my dear friends. As you live here, rejoice, you will live there. Our citizenship is in heaven. Being a citizen means that you have the right to be there. You are in a certain country and you have a right to all of its privileges and responsibilities, probably because you were born there. Perhaps you have a right to be there and right to be a citizen of that country because you took the proper steps and now you say, I don't want to be a citizen there anymore, I want to be a citizen here. You and I are citizens of heaven. We have a right to be there. Even though I know in the back of your minds you're probably saying, I do not have a right to be there. I have proven time and time again that I don't have a right to be there. But Jesus gives you the right. And Jesus earned you the right. Every now and then you will need to pull out your birth certificate. Sometimes that's just kind of funny. You have to pull out your birth certificate like you need to prove that you were born. I mean, you're standing there. The birth certificate isn't necessarily to prove that you were born. It's to prove that you were born here. That you have the right to be here. And you have the right to the responsibilities or blessings that you're trying to claim. Your baptism is your birth certificate. Your baptism is how God claimed you as His very own and how God says you are now in His family. You are in His kingdom. You can be heaven-focused because that birth certificate, being washed clean in the blood of your Lord and your Savior, guarantees you that you've got the right to be in heaven. Jesus' blood and righteousness, that glorious dress that is ours, I suppose you could think about that as your passport. Those times when you and I wander off, get sidetracked because of our sin and our sinful desires and our laziness. Jesus' blood and righteousness gets us back in. Gets us back into the glories of heaven and assures us that we are still part of God's family. We're citizens of heaven. And so now we are eagerly awaiting a Savior from there. A Savior who's already come the first time. Came as that precious little baby and set aside His glories as God for the moment to be your Savior and substitute. We look forward to the day that He comes back. And when He comes back, He's going to take these humble and lowly bodies and He's going to transform them into glorious bodies like His. You're already free from Satan's power. You don't have to give in to every temptation that comes along. We sometimes struggle. But Satan doesn't have the power that he used to have. Neither does sin. You are already set free from sin's guilt. The wages of sin has already been paid. That happened on the cross. You get the credit for it. But when that Lord and Savior comes back, as we stay focused on the glories of heaven, then we will be free from all of sin's effects. All the temptations, all of the struggles, all the falling, all the tears, all the pain. All of it goes away. As we stand in the glories of heaven in those glorified bodies. So we are subject to Christ. And even as we live here, rejoice that you live there. Our Lord and our God is the one who puts everything in just the right order. Puts everything together. And now we want things to come in the right order as well. So as you're making use of the gifts and the talents that you or your children have, as you are enjoying the homes and the properties and everything that the Lord gives to you, now you are making your decisions not based on temporary fad, but now your decisions are being made based on eternal value. Because as you live here, rejoice that you live there. Stewardship is heaven-focused. Focused on what is eternal and lasting, not temporary and just for here. That is hard. It is hard to look past the here and now. It is difficult to think that what I might do right now is going to affect something in the future. As you get older, you get a little better at it. You probably get better at it because you've had some experience and you now understand what you don't have anymore and it's because of what you did in the past. But as we grow in that amazing grace of our Lord and our God, remember that stewardship, managing whatever it is that you've got, whatever station in life that you're in, is heaven-focused. For even as you live here, there are blessings to being heaven-focused. And that, of course, prepares you and assures you of all the blessings when you finally get to the focus, when you finally get to the goal, and you are in heaven. Amen.